93 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. Humanitarian aid has mostly arrived in Gaza by trucking convoys, but that's about to change. National Security Spokesman Admiral John Kirby.
The United States will carry out airdrops of aid into Gaza in coordination with our international partners, particularly Jordan, in the coming days.
As for possible ceasefire, here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
President Biden says he had hoped there would be an agreement on a ceasefire in Gaza before the start of Ramadan, but now he's not so sure.
It's not there yet. I think we'll get there, but it's not there yet. And it may not get there.
Speaking to reporters as he was about to board Marine One en route to Camp David, the president said a key sticking point remains.
There has to be an agreement on the timing, and they're still far apart.
But he's not giving up.
I'm still hoping for it. It's not over till it's over.
The Muslim holy month of Ramadan begins on March 10th. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The Texas Panhandle wildfires are now more than 1.1 million acres big, or some 1,700 square miles. With dry weather, it shows no sign of burning out. Governor Greg Abbott says when a hurricane or tornado hits, you can see the remnants of what was there, not now.
When you look at the damages that have occurred here, it's just gone, completely gone. Nothing left but ashes on the ground.
He says some 500 buildings have burned down. At least two deaths are blamed on the fires. If you're a snow person, the Sierra Nevada in Northern California is the place to be this weekend, with up to 12 feet expected. Correspondent Carter Evans says none of this should be taken lightly.
Several ski resorts are closed under avalanche warnings. And authorities across the Sierra Nevada are also preparing for collapsed roofs, downed trees, and power lines. That's because scientists say this could be an epic storm.
Wisconsin Supreme Court is considered liberal, but it's rejected a lawsuit from Democratic voters to throw out the state's congressional maps. Those maps were redrawn by Republicans and approved by the Democratic governor after a previous ruling by the same court. An accident in Louisville, Kentucky leaves a big rig dangling from the Clark Memorial Bridge over the Ohio River. Bryce Carden was part of the fire rescue crew that helped get the driver out of the cab safely by rope.
Thank God. That's what she kept saying, thank God. And I told her, I said, just take a deep breath, and then here's what I need you to do, because I needed her to assist in, you know, moving certain ways to be able to get the harness on right. And once we did that, we got her free of the seatbelt, and she was on my system, so I knew that we were good from there.
That driver was not seriously hurt. Wall Street, the Dow closed up 91 and the NASDAQ gained 183. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
19 in our native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Clear tonight with a low of 34, then Saturday sunshine with a high of 63. Maverick's Real Roast Beef is an East Metro treasure. Every bite is a taste of perfection. And don't forget to add freshly fried rings or fries to make it a winning combination. Maverick's Real Roast Beef in Roseville, Lexington Avenue, one block north of the intersection with Larpenteur Avenue. Visit mavericksbeef.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, they are.
Hey, we just want to give a quick shout out to Haley. Haley's off today and Monday, and she's celebrating her birthday. And we just want to say happy birthday, and we really appreciate you here on Native Roots Radio and as a family member. We are here, and it's Friday. We're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, Minnesota State Senator. For you guys listening to Outstate Minnesota and our Civic Media Network, we're really always happy to have Mary on Fridays. Welcome, State Senator.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm happy to be here. Matakiape, everyone.
Right on. So you are in session now.
We are. At the beginning of this past week, somebody said, oh, can you believe it's only been 2 weeks that we've been in session? And I was like, wow, feels like 2 months. And then somebody else looked at me and she said, no, it's 3 weeks now.
What?
So we are quickly losing track of time, and it's a short session for us here in Minnesota. We have to be done by the third week of May. And so we're just trying to figure things out as the schedule will allow us. We just were able to find out our budgets, or what our dollar, what tax dollars we would have for this next session to use. And then of course we have to wait and see what each one of our committees are allocated. But in Minnesota, we have a healthy economic and budget forecast going forward for the next couple of years. There's a surplus of $3.71 billion, and that's up already from $1.3 billion from the November projections. But we recognize that with that incredible session we had last year and the dollars that we had to invest in Minnesota and Minnesotans across the board last year, it's not going to be anything like we had last year. That $3.7 billion sounds really healthy, but just to remind folks, for my education budget last year, it was $5.5 billion just for education. So we have been managing not only our own expectations at the legislature, but everybody else who is coming to us and saying, you know, can you support this program, or can you put more dollars into different areas of our education? And there's nothing I'd love more to be able to do that, but I have a feeling it's just going to be some one-time money that we're going to be able to use to bolster some of the things that we've done already, perhaps put a little bit into some other areas that are doing the really good work for our communities, and see where it gets us.
Well, isn't this more of a, that was a budget season the last time around, and this is more about policy? Isn't that how it goes? Yeah. Or is it still kind of?
Yeah. It is. We in Minnesota, we work on a biennium. So every 2 years, and usually the first year is a budget year. We set the budget for the 2 years following. And then the next year is more of a policy year. But we also have bonding years along with those policy years. And bonding is when we use the taxpayers' dollars to take care of Minnesota's infrastructure. So the roads, the bridges, our state buildings and infrastructure is really an important part of that. But then there are also many localities, many municipalities that need help with their water treatment. Like in my district, we have this sweet little community called Hillside, and it's a manufactured home community. So that's all it is. And it's its own little municipality unto itself. Wow. But it doesn't have a storm shelter that's adequate for the community. And so this year I am sponsoring legislation to help them build an adequate ADA accessible, large enough for the community for some dollars to help them with that. So it's interesting to see all these community, these municipal requests coming in for help. And of course, we want to make sure our bridges are safe, that the water that we're drinking, no matter where. And that was a huge discussion this week in agriculture. I sit on the agriculture committee. Southwest Minnesota has a lot of nitrate in their waters. And we are looking for ways to ensure that everyone across the state doesn't have that issue. And that's a big one in Minnesota because we pride ourselves on being a very agricultural community state. And when the nitrates are at such high levels and they're seeping into to the water, that's not doing anybody any favors. And so that was those are some of the things that we've been looking at and thinking about.
Wow, that's a lot. And I know, Wendy, here in St. Paul, we've had some water issues here just recently come up that kind of surprised me.
Yeah, we got notification that the water in our area could possibly have lead in the water. And it was warning, you know, young children and pregnant women should not drink the water.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I went online and I found Brita filters that are specifically for lead. And it also filters out other things. I don't know if it filters out nitrates. I don't know that. However, so we bought these filters and we don't even give our animals water from the sink. So they get the filtered water as well, because lead could also, you know, affect them as well. I had a question, Mary. The municipalities that ask you for certain monies for certain projects, are those things that are voted by the people, or where do those requests come from?
Those usually come from the cities themselves. Mm. So like this one for Hilltop, that came from the city. But there might be other organizations that are actually asking for dollars to help with the work that they do. For example, the American Indian Center in Minneapolis.
Okay.
They are, you know, they're like the hub, almost like the hub of the Midwest. There's a lot of Native folks that come from far and wide for programming, for support, for the events that are held there. The clinic, the Indian clinic is just across the street. And, you know, there's people from Wisconsin and the Dakotas that come to that clinic because they trust the people there. And so organizations like Wakan Tipi, the Indian Center, Indian Health Board, all of those entities for Native, you know, in Native Indian country will also ask for some assistance in financial areas. Up north, there's a number of the tribes that are asking for help in creating sort of a community hub with a clinic, a community center, rehab, childcare, those sort of things. So it isn't just governmental or municipal organizations that are asking, these nonprofits that are doing the work. I mean, the actual work, they need some help in these matters. And oftentimes we'll be told we're just giving money to our friends, but they're doing the work.
Yeah. They're boots on the ground, what we like to say. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish of the great state of Minnesota and Wendy Pilot of the great state of New York right now. Oh, wow. Hey, and we'll be right back. Happy birthday, Haley. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hi, this is Philip Anthony, the host of the Downright Upright Show, which is on the air on Saturdays at 5 p.m. I personally want to thank you for supporting my show and for supporting AM 950. So in turn, we want to celebrate you by dedicating February as Listener Appreciation Month. All month long, we will be giving away prizes to our listeners and creating ways to better connect with you. Follow AM 950 social media accounts for chances to win. So join us by making February fantabulous.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
I love that tagline because they really do that. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish and later on Wendy Pilot with our sacred animal. Fun facts. Is that what's going to happen when?
I think so.
She's guessing. Okay, we're
doing fun facts. It'll happen.
Right on. And we're here with State Senator and State Senator Mary Kunish. And State Senator, it's fun. We have one of your allies and a person you've worked with closely over the years moving to Minnesota. And we had Ruth Buffalo stop in on our show the day after that was announced. That's pretty awesome news.
I know. If folks remember, Ruth Ann Buffalo is actually a state representative in North Dakota. And she worked very hard to pass along a missing and murdered Indigenous women's task force as well. I think that they kind of pulled the rug out from under her and didn't fund it. But she continues to advocate for women in Native women in particular. And so she is coming to Minnesota. And I believe she will be the director of the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And they're located in the heart of urban Indian country. Mm-hmm. And there are so many needs that they provide to our women. It's an incredible program that is seeped in the traditional ways of our communities, our Native communities, and especially in ensuring that there are support systems out there for our Native women and their families. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the area of Minneapolis has like not only a large Native population from folks from all different tribes and all over the state, but it makes it to be the third largest urban American Indian population in the United States.
Yeah.
And so we see a lot of mobility between between the folks that they serve. Maybe they're coming from greater Minnesota down to the city looking for education or job opportunities. Maybe they're coming up from Chicago. Maybe they're coming from so many different areas. And the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is one of our most valuable assets and gems in Minnesota. And so I'm really excited for Ruth Ann to become mm-hmm. a Minnesotan, maybe. I don't know for sure. I haven't talked to her about if she's moving here or not, but we would certainly welcome her with open arms.
Well, it sounds like the whole family's moving up. And I forgot this. She has mentioned this in the past. In her younger years, she worked up here for ICWA for a year in Minneapolis. And I know her daughter went to school here a year ago. But, you know, the Women's Resource Center, the Native American Resource Center, they do birthing. They do all these classes and things. And they've really taken up, too, a lot of the slack since the Native American center has been reconstructed and worked on, which will open in May. It's exciting to have her come join us, and she has a lot of good things. And it's too bad too that she got gerrymandered out of that district there. That was really a bummer, because I know she worked really, really hard on her last campaign. And but it's good news for Minnesota. And Mary, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but according to the Minneapolis Public Schools, there are 150 different Native American tribes that go through the school district here in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Yeah. I have heard that. I didn't remember that number exactly, but Minnesota is a really good place to live. I mean, that's the bottom line. We care about our environment. We care about our kids. Do we have enough money for everything that we want for our students? No, we don't. But, you know, we are working on curriculum, Indian education for all, and all means all, in all the different curriculum areas in our schools. And, you know, we passed legislation to allow kids to wear that eagle feather in their hat. I have a hearing coming up on Monday to allow for smudging in the schools. And I feel like we have to name it after
John.
Yeah.
John Bobolink. Yeah.
I feel like I want to name the bill after John Bobolink, who just, rest his soul, just passed away, but was an incredible advocate for American Indian kids in the St. Paul School District. And he worked really hard on getting the permission or the ability for kids in St. Paul Public Schools to smudge during the school day. Mm-hmm. And so we're bringing legislation to allow that across the state. And yeah, I think I would like to rename that bill after him.
Yeah, John was a gentle soul, and he was there for the right reason. He was... yeah, I worked with him for quite a few years, not only as a St. Paul Public School teacher, but also I was on the parent committee for the Indian Ed. And so I got to see John every month in that meeting. And he was a huge advocate. And as you can see through all the posts and Facebook, people do recognize the great advocacy that his legacy will show everyone. It's just and I appreciate that, and a lot of people appreciate that. John was a good man, and yeah,
he'll be missed. I just saw him very recently at the Andayang powwow. And we had a really nice conversation, and he did share with me that he was not well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he looked much thinner and a little gaunt from the last time I had seen him, which wasn't really so long ago. And I was, you know, immediately a little concerned about it. And then his passing happened shortly after that. So I'm really fortunate to at least have had like a really pleasant last conversation with him. And he was always very encouraging and supportive of the work that I do here in the state. So we'll miss him a lot. And he's left a pretty strong legacy for folks in St. Paul to carry on.
Yeah. There is I don't know if it's a wake or if it's a ceremony, but tomorrow at Ames grade school, I don't know if you're aware of that, but I just got text that information. Mm-hmm. And I will definitely stop in and pay my respects.
Yeah. Yeah. I should get over there.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, what are you thinking here now, all the way from New York right now? What, You have any questions about what's going on in Minneapolis politics, Wen?
Yeah, always. I just want to say, too, I didn't have the pleasure of knowing John, but I'm also on Facebook, and people have just outpoured their sentiment about him, and I just want to, you know, send good wishes to his family and say rest in peace.
Yeah.
You know, people, I talk to people here about politics, and I tell them that, you know, we are so lucky because we have a trifecta, and people don't know what that is. So I say, you know, we're really lucky because our governor is Democrat, our House of Representatives is Democrat House, and we also have a Democratic Senate. So we got a lot of good stuff done in Minnesota, where a lot of things that happen here and elsewhere in the world, the states, there, you know, you go in with good intentions to pass a bill or a law or something, and it just gets held up year after year after year, and you feel like you can't get anything done. So I just say how lucky Minnesota is that we're able to really get good stuff done.
Well, yeah. And by the time you're home, Wendy, hopefully I'll have one of those murdered and missing Indigenous license plates on the car.
Yeah. And the other thing, I talk to people, you know, a lot of people are just like, I only vote for the president. I don't vote in any other election. So I kind of like to talk to people about how important local politics is. It's even more important sometimes than, you know, the big presidential election that you really want to do that. I mean, we just saw here in New York that Santos, his seat was taken over by a Democrat. So this is like really unbelievable. Nobody really thought that that would happen. And it did. So you really have to get out there and vote for every election, for city council member, you know, for your Minnesota, you know, your state senator, you know, the big, you know, the other senators, the governors, all of it. You have to get out there and get involved.
Yeah. And even just right down to the very basics of community leadership, your mayor, your city council, they're the ones that are making, they're making the decisions about your city. School board, absolutely, in this day and age. There's many opportunities to participate. And once you put yourself out there, I think it's really going to make a difference. And I would encourage, you know, especially Native folks to consider running for office, not just in tribal communities, but their communities at large.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish and Wendy Pilot. And I am Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we'll be right back with some more with the State Senator.
Stay with us.
Life can be hectic. Sometimes the pressure can feel like too much, and the emotions can be overwhelming. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. located at 1518 Randolph Avenue.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. will take the lead in starting airdrops of humanitarian aid into Gaza. President Biden has been pushing for more help for civilians there.
Innocent lives are on the line and children's lives are on the line. And we won't stand by and let until we get more aid in.
How big are the Texas Panhandle wildfires? This is Governor Greg Abbott.
The largest fire in the history of the state of Texas. Cut a path so large that it exceeds the size of some states in our country.
The biggest winter storm of the year is hitting Northern California and Nevada's Sierra Nevada region. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren says as much as 12 feet of snow could fall.
This is a long-lasting snow event. Strong winds, possible power outages expected with this snow not wrapping up until late on Sunday.
It's expected to be so bad ski areas have shut down with fears of avalanches. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wickihout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's congressional maps will stay as they are for this November's election. The state Supreme Court declined to reconsider the congressional boundaries Friday. Liberal law firm Elias Law Group filed the challenge with the court after they ruled Wisconsin's legislative maps unconstitutional last year. The court's newest liberal judge, Justice Janet Protasiewicz, did not vote either way in the decision, saying she was not on the court when the underlying case was decided. Vice President Kamala Harris will talk about the economy and apprenticeships when she visits Wisconsin next week. Her visit to Madison will be her second trip to Wisconsin this year and the sixth time since taking office. Observers expect Wisconsin will be one of just a few states to tip November's presidential election. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mainly cloudy sky for tonight with a low in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer. Highs into the low 50s. Continued warming Sunday. Record highs possible. Low 60s, breezy, and mostly sunny. A chance of rain into Monday, high upper 50s. Currently 40 degrees.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Covering all the news that affects you, your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
North of the intersection with Larpenteur Avenue. Visit mavericksbeef.com.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute, located in Minneapolis, Native American Corridor.
Right on. Good read there, Wendy. You got the rust off. You ready to go every day again? Oh, wow. Yeah.
Every other day.
There you go. Hey, well, we're celebrating too our seventh year of being on the air, and Wendy being one of the founders of Native Roots Radio, and always with the animal
animal segment that we're going to have today. So, hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and I know when Wendy's always was sitting next to me, she always takes her headphones off and says, ask them what they want to talk about. And so this is State Senator's a segment right now. So go ahead, State Senator, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I mean, there's always so much to talk about, but one of the my favorite days, now that I'm chair of education finance in the Minnesota Senate, is our library day. And that is the day that I invite librarians from across the state to come in and talk about the kind of work that they do. Wendy mentioned that we are in a trifecta where the Democrats have the majority in all three branches of our government. And that meant last year when we had an abundance, we were able to spread that abundance out across so many different areas. And one of those ways was to shore up our libraries. And there are, you know, a number of different ways that different libraries provide not just books and literature, but a lot of information and support and create invaluable community hubs for their community and draw around from each other. And especially over COVID, those libraries were so invaluable. Last year, we were able to invest almost $3 million in our regional library systems and multi-county, multi-type libraries. We put $1.7 million into those. But one thing that I'm really proud of is that we also reinvested in our library media specialists. Those are the librarians in the school that create the library collections. Like for me, I was a library media specialist for 20 years. I loved it. But I also taught classes, all the technology classes for a little kindergarten through fifth grade school, as well as researching and resource location, how to put together good reports and make sure that we're using, facts, not fiction. And so we were able to put about $23 million into that, but also provide grants for teachers who might be interested in coming into the profession. Mm-hmm. And we're hearing really good consequences to those investments. There was an article in the Star Tribune. I love to tell this story. And it was about how Minneapolis, you know, saw that we were investing in libraries. So they pledged to have at least a halftime 0.5 library media specialist in every school. And that has made all of the difference. There was a teacher, a library media specialist, who was in a school where the library hadn't even been open for a couple of years. And he reopened it and energized it. And his quote was that the books are flying off by the gazillion. And so kids are starved for really good legislation. Yes, they are starved for that, but really good literature and access to information. And I just couldn't be prouder than the work that we did in that area of education and community building and support. And so with that, I just want to remind everybody that starting tomorrow, it's Read Across America. Oh, and I would encourage you all to visit your local library. If you don't have a library card, go get one. If you do, go ahead. And, you know, a lot of libraries are now taking away the fear of having an overdue book or say a book goes missing by not charging fines. And that has made an incredible difference to Minnesotans, where they know that if it's late, oops, or it got misplaced, they're not going to have to be out those dollars right away, and that those books just need to come back, and we're happy to have them back.
I think Wendy has something to say about a library card real quick, don't you, Wendy?
That was one of the first things that I did when I came to Long Beach, New York, was to walk up to the local library and get a library card. Yeah. And check the library out. And our the library here, you know, like you said, Mary, it's more than just, you know, giving books out. They have different classes. You could have go to Pilates. They have art classes. They have movies, different movies here once a week that you could go and watch for free. It's, you know, there's spaces where you could just go and sit quiet and get work done. There's computers here for people who don't have access for, you know, at home.
Yeah.
So you can go to the library and look up stuff and print stuff out and, you know, fill out forms that they need to do and all kinds of things.
Yeah, I remember I was a reference librarian for a while too, you know, us teachers always having a second job. Mm-hmm. But people would come to me with the you know, most interesting questions, and it was our job to help them find the answers to those. And sometimes we had to borrow books from a library halfway across the country.
Wow. And
it's just, libraries are just so vital. I taught computer classes to the elderly when I was a reference librarian. And, you know, one of the librarians testified at the for the legislature sitting in her car outside of a library because she was in remote Minnesota and didn't have access to the internet.
Wow.
So that's a big one, too.
I remember as being a teacher for quite a few years and going to the library in our school, and the librarian, the media specialist, which he was and is, was giving tips on how to use Google. And there was things like putting quotes in there and things that I never even knew, but helping with research for these kids that, so the media specialists do more, like you were saying, than just check out a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we could probably all remember the day going to the library and using index cards to find what we need. But
oh my gosh.
And using like microfiche and, you know, all kinds of stuff that doesn't even exist anymore.
Oh my gosh, thank heavens we don't.
And some, there's generations now that don't even know what I'm talking about or what those words even mean.
Oh my gosh. I remember those cards and they were handwritten by, you know, with the nicest penmanship ever.
Yes.
But even when they went to like getting a typewriter, you know, done, I can't even imagine doing that. But yeah, so I would suggest everybody enjoy Read Across America. Minnesota has a book awards program that's, done by the Friends of the St. Paul Library. And there are just, you know, look for those kind of things in your state, because there's just fabulous books. And these books are Minnesota authors, you know, in Minnesota, the finalists. There's in children's, there's a book called Beneath. And there's one that I really, really, I love the title of it. It says, "Can we please give the police department to the grandmothers?" Can you imagine if our grandmothers were the one, if the grandmothers were the one policing it? And then just some other really incredible books. There's one about the greatest summer in baseball history, how the 1973 changed us forever, and lessons on the road to peace.
I want to see the 73 one. I was
big, yeah. Wow. It's just really fabulous stuff. There's some really good memoirs and creative nonfiction, and these are all books about Minnesota, but that could be applied anywhere. And I do have to say that there is a finalist in the novel and short story area, A Council of Dolls. I don't know if you've read that yet. You have to read it. It's by a really great writer. Her name is Mona Susan Power.
Just
to be clear, she is my cousin. But that's not why I think it's such a fabulous book. She has written...
She did Grass Dancers, or what was that in the 90s?
Yep.
Yes, that was award-winning. And as a matter of fact, I took a class of hers at the U of M.
Yeah.
Mary, can you just repeat the name of that book again? A Council of Dolls?
A Council of Dolls.
Okay, what is her, what is your cousin's name?
Mona Susan Power.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's
she
awesome.
She grew up in Chicago. Her mother and my mother are actually first cousins.
Mm-hmm.
So her mother, Susan Power, moved to Chicago, where she really was the one that worked on opening up the Indian Center in Chicago.
Wow.
And really worked hard to build community connections in Chicago. And then Susan has had an incredible life, went to Harvard for law school and became a writer, lives here in St. Paul.
Yeah.
But the interesting part about that book is there's, while it's fictional, it's, there's a lot of my family history in there. And it, mm-hmm. it took me a while to get through the book because, you know, when you know who they're talking about and you read some of the circumstances that, that our ancestors went through, you know, it, you kind of have to take pause and think about them and remember them and honor them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's, I think it's one of the best books I've ever read. And I'm not saying that because she's my cousin. I've
right.
read a lot of books, but it gives a lot to think about. And yeah, I'm just very excited. I already have tickets to go to the awards dinner. I hope we don't have a late night on of legislature that night, because that's always a really exciting evening here in Minnesota.
Yeah, and our friend Kathy Coates, Banish Forever, the book that about Ho-Chunk is top 10 book in being read and sold in Minnesota right now.
I think I bought 3 books at her when you I had that reception for her.
Yeah.
And I've handed them out to my brothers who are, you know, advocates, and they're just fascinated by it. So congratulations to her.
Absolutely. Hey, always thank you so much, Mary, State Senator Mary Kunish. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
Mental health and substance use disorders are complex, stigmatizing, and can be overwhelming issues for families to face. Finding the right diagnosis and care can sometimes feel impossible, especially when you don't know where to start looking. Hazelden Betty Ford understands what your family is going through. Hazelden Betty Ford's patient access team will direct you towards a clear path forward, in-network with most insurances. This message is brought to you by Hazelden Betty Ford, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Hey, everybody out there in AM 950 Radio Land, this is Paul Metza. We have a dynamite show on the Wall of Power Radio Hour this weekend at 6 p.m. on Saturday. Tab Lavin is a Minnesota born and bred guitarist, vocalist, and songwriter who spent many years being Art Garfunkel from Simon and Garfunkel's guitar player. You're going to love to hear his story, played with Mary McGregor and more. Saturday night, 6 p.m. on AM 950.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Well, this is the part everybody has been waiting for, Wendy, our sacred animal section. And I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she talks about our sacred animals here every week, and I learn something new every time you listen. And I do believe, well, why don't you introduce yourself and also tell us what you're going to talk about.
Sure. Hey, everybody. My name is Hannah G. Bihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. Today is Friday, so we're just going to do a fun fact Friday, keep things light. There's a lot of, you know, bad things going on in the animal world, and we all need to pitch in and work on them. But for today, we're just going to keep it light. and just relax, because sometimes it's easy to do that. But I just wanted to let you know, our little dog Wanda, she was in New York with me, spending time here in Long Beach, New York, and she got sick. So she had diarrhea, and now she's I don't want to say it on the air, but she had a stomach ache and was having problems. So I took her to the vet yesterday, and she does not have her parasite panel, came back negative. So she doesn't have any parasites, which is good. Mm-hmm. But they don't really actually know what's, wrong with her. So now she's going to be on a probiotic once a day and an antibiotic twice a day. And the doctor also wants me to put organic pumpkin puree, just like a teaspoon, in her food every day.
Will you do that for me too?
He said it's really good for her
digestion
and helps them. So so we got all that. She seems to be holding her own, and she's doing all right for now. But she gets, she's such a smart dog that she will not go potty in the house, which I'm really happy about. But if and I leave a potty pad out for her just in case, because you never know. But literally, she had me up at 2 a.m., 4:30 a.m., and then 10 a.m. Now, when I bring her out, she's like sprinting, because here in Long Beach, it's very urban. So she has to run around the block to find a patch of grass, because everything's concrete, right?
Yeah.
So there I am at 2 a.m., 4 a.m. and 10 a.m. Like, I bring her out and she sprints like she's got to go. So I'm running around the blocks to this patch of grass so that she can, do her business. But when I get back in the house, I'm like awake because I just ran around the block. So it's like taking me a long time to fall back to sleep.
Oh.
Yeah. So I feel like, oh my goodness, this is how it feels, when you're had kids and you're up all night with them, and then you can't really sleep and whatever.
And you can't sleep, but they're sleeping.
She's asleep. I think I got up at after 10. Yeah, we got back to the house at a little after 10 a.m. I was like, well, that's it. I'm not going to sleep now. But she went back to sleep and didn't get up until 1 in the afternoon. And I was like, yeah, sure. Thanks a lot, dog.
Oh,
yeah. So anyway, hopefully she'll be on the road to recovery, because, at home, when we're home, we have a fenced in backyard and we could just let her out, if she has to go. I don't have to get my jacket on, my shoes on, grab the poop bags, get the leash.
Keys, mace. Keys,
yeah. Keys, mace. So,
yes.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, but yeah, so I have a list here, and it is the 101 greatest animal facts.
Here we
and a
go.
Lot of the, yeah, some of these are new. Some of these you've never heard before. Some of them we've repeated 10 times. So this is one I don't think I've ever talked about, because I feel like this is new to me. Okay, so there's the loudest animal in the world is a mere 2 centimeters long. and it's a prawn, like a shrimp.
Yeah,
it's like a prawn. Yeah, it says the loudest animal in the world is a mere 2 centimeters long, a prawn.
Yeah,
prawn, a prawn,
prawn,
prawn, prawn. Yeah, it's called a pistol shrimp, and the pistol shrimp is capable of snapping its claw shut so rapidly that it creates a bubble which collapses to produce a sonic blast that's louder than the Concorde's sonic boom. Do you remember the Concorde, the airplane, big plane? Yeah, the Concorde. Yeah.
I saw them on Long Island Beach the last time before they were retired. Remember
that? Yeah, that was a long time ago. How many years ago do you think that was? Yeah, about 20 years ago, we were on the beach and it came over to go into Kennedy Airport. And I'm telling, like, your whole body just shook from that thing because we were pretty close to the airport. But the shock wave can reach 230 decibels. Also louder than the sound of a gunshot.
What?
Yeah, this is called the pistol shrimp. You could look them up. They're very pretty. They're like red and white here. Maybe I could even show a picture. All right, so that is the pistol shrimp, which is a prawn.
Yeah.
And it's the loudest animal in the world.
Pretty. And it's got little snappers on it.
It does. I didn't think I'd want to
mess
with that either. But here's the other thing. I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to say it again. It's number 2. Flamingos are not pink. They are born gray, and their diet of brine shrimp and blue-green algae contains a natural pink dye, and that's what makes their feathers pink.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're born gray, and the shrimp that they eat and the blue-green algae that contains a natural pink dye makes their feathers pink.
I wonder if I ate spinach every day, that would happen to me. I'd turn green.
Turn green, yeah. I don't know. I've known people who, I knew one person who ate a lot of carrots every day, like a bag of carrots a day, and their skin turned orange.
Like the former president? Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
This is makeup, though. Bad makeup.
Yeah, very bad makeup. Yeah, they were saying you just mentioned that, I just remembered a post that I saw saying, somebody was saying, like, you know, even though Biden and Trump all are just about the same age, that Trump looks a lot younger. Now, I don't know if I feel that, but Biden responded by saying, I have a lot better things to do with my 2 hours every day than get a spray tan and fix my hair and have my makeup done and all that. So if you think he looks younger than me, well, that's okay. I'll be looking like an old man because I have better things to do with my time.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's true or not. You know, you never could believe what you read. Check everything, check what you're reading.
You know, it was said by that great president. He said that don't believe everything that you read on the internet, and it was signed by Abraham Lincoln.
Of course.
We got a minute here, Wen.
Okay, otters. You know those cute little otters, they hold hands while sleeping so they don't float away from each other. How cute is that?
I've seen videos.
And we already said this too. Hummingbirds are the only known birds that could also fly backwards.
Oh.
No other bird can fly backwards except the hummingbirds. Oh, this is a funny one. I don't know. I have talked about this, but dolphins use toxic pufferfish to get high. So while the pufferfish could poison other fish in the sea, it gives dolphins a high, and the dolphins have been known to play with a pufferfish just to get high.
Wow. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that reminds us of our drunk squirrels. Hey, thanks, Wendy.
Have a good weekend.
All right. Well, free Leonard Peltz.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently?
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.